For today, featuring the Bible teaching ministry of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of the Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues his message, What Has God Called You to Be? As we pick up in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1. And now, with today's study, here's Pastor Chuck.
Tonight, let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. The church of Corinth had been a divided church. There was a lot of carnality, a lot of problems in their doctrines. That prompted Paul's first epistle, which is a rather stern epistle, and was a corrective epistle, seeking to correct a lot of the doctrinal errors that did exist, seeking to bring them from their carnality into a real spiritual walk. A mark of their carnality, one of the marks of their carnality, was the party spirit that existed. For some were saying, I'm Baptist, and others were saying, I'm Presbyterian, and others were saying, I'm Nazarene. Or they were actually saying, I'm of Paulus, I'm of Cephas, I'm of Paul, I'm of Christ. And these little party spirits dividing the body of Christ. And so Paul wrote to rebuke this party spirit. He wrote to correct their carnality, their doctrinal errors. But the effect of his first epistle was sort of a polarizing of the people. And there were those who did repent and were corrected. They really came along after receiving Paul's epistle, but there were others that turned more firmly against Paul. And it seemed to be those who were the Judaizers, or perhaps those who said we are of Christ and were teaching basically from the Sermon on the Mount and had not really accepted the grace of God that Paul shared that has come to us through Jesus Christ. They began to speak disparagingly of Paul, began to challenge his claim of apostleship, and thus speaking to them with authority. And it would seem that Timothy probably delivered the first epistle and brought back to Paul the initial reaction toward the epistle. Titus had stayed there for a while and was to meet Paul in Troas and to give Paul a full report on the Corinthian church. When Paul got to Troas, Titus had not shown up. And God opened for Paul an effectual door of ministry in Troas. However, he was so upset in his spirit about the possible offense that the Corinthians might have for him, rather than staying in Troas and ministering in that effectual door, he journeyed on over to Macedonia, where Titus did meet him and gave to him news of the church in Corinth, which encouraged Paul. But he also heard of this faction that had set themselves against Paul, were challenging his apostleship. And so Paul learned from Titus now the condition of the church in Corinth. Timothy had been with Paul when Paul first ministered in Corinth. And so Paul joins Timothy with him in his salutation to the Corinthian church. In verse 1, notice Paul first of all asserts, Paul and an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. There were those who were challenging his apostleship, saying that he, you know, just took that title on himself. But here he lays claim to the fact that he is an apostle by the will of God. Now, when Paul was writing his first epistle to the Corinthians, in chapter 12 he said, "Are all apostles? Are all evangelists? Do all work miracles?" And the answer is obviously no, because it's a rhetorical type question. So Paul, an apostle by the will of God. However, God hasn't called all to be apostles. Now the question is, what has God called you to be? If I were writing to the church, I would have to write, "Chuck, a pastor teacher by the will of God." I couldn't really write, "Chuck, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God," for that isn't my calling in the body. God has called me as a pastor teacher. But there are others who could write, "Frank, a mechanic by the will of God. John, a fisherman by the will of God. Mike, a car salesman by the will of God." For God has called men into all types of occupations. The important thing is that I am what I am by the will of God, that I am doing what God has willed for me to do. And it's marvelous when you can say concerning your life, "I am walking according to the will and the plan of God for me." That whatever it is I am by the will of God. So Paul, an apostle by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, because Timothy was teaching them and ministering to them when Paul first visited the Corinthian church. He joins Timothy together in his greeting. "Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth." And then he includes all of the area around Corinth, the area of Achaia. "Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ." We recognize this as a typical Pauline salutation. He begins many of his epistles with this very similar salutation. "Grace to you," which is, of course, the typical Greek greeting of one another. "And peace," which was the typical Jewish greeting, shalom. "Charis," the Greeks would greet, and "shalom," the Hebrews would greet. These beautiful Siamese twins of the New Testament, coupled together. "From God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ." Again, I would like to point out that the Lord Jesus Christ is not his name. Jesus is his name. Lord is his title. That signifies relationship. And too many times people think of it as first, middle, and last name, the Lord Jesus Christ. But Lord is a title, and it's an important title, which signifies my relationship to him, which signifies that I am a servant. He is my master. And it is necessary for me to confess this to be saved. For if thou shalt confess with thy mouth that Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So the Lord signifies the relationship. Christ is, again, a mission, the anointed one, the Mashiach, and it speaks of the fact that he is the fulfillment of God's promised salvation. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. And again, this is so typical of Paul. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in Christ in heavenly places. How he begins his Ephesian epistle is quite similar to this. First of all, the greeting to the people, the grace and peace to them, the acknowledgement of his mission as a being what he was by the will of God, an apostle, and then the thanksgiving to God. Praise be unto God. The word blessed is actually praise be unto God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Father of mercies and the God of comfort, who comforted us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounded by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. So Paul here is speaking of the afflictions that he had experienced, the sufferings that he had experienced, and the tribulation that he had experienced. We have difficulty in our minds wondering why God would allow us to experience suffering. Why God would allow us to go through tribulation. Why God would allow us to be afflicted. Because we believe that he is a God of love, and we know that he controls the circumstances that surround our lives and then that come into our lives. And it is difficult for us to understand why God would allow me to suffer if he loves me so much. Why God would allow me to be afflicted. Now, Paul declares that he experienced these things in order that in them he might also experience the comfort of God so that he would be able to comfort others with the same comfort that he had received. So it was for their sakes as much as his own that God allowed these things to happen to him, for he needed to be ministered by God in these areas so that he could minister to others in these very same areas. As I look at my own life, I realize that God has allowed a lot of difficult experiences to happen to me so that I can truly understand and sympathize and minister to those who are going through the similar or the same kind of difficulties. Had I never gone through them myself, I wouldn't have understanding of that person's need, where they're coming from. But having experienced the tragic death of my father and brother, having experienced the suffering of my mother by cancer, having experienced being broke, not knowing where money was going to come from for dinner, I understand when people are going through these kind of experiences, and I can minister to them with that same comfort whereby I have been comforted by the Spirit of God when I was going through these things. And so it's always good to say, I know what you feel. I've been there. I went through it. And so Paul could say, hey, I know the sufferings. I know the afflictions. I know the tribulation. I've been there. And he could comfort them. While I was there, though, God proved his faithfulness to me. God saw me through. God provided the strength. God provided for me that comfort that I needed. And I am able to comfort with the comfort whereby I was comforted. And so Paul said, therefore, it was for your sakes, really, that I might be able to give this kind of consolation to you, the consolation that I myself received. And so if we are afflicted, it's for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same things which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye also be of the consolation. I know that God is faithful, and even as you have suffered, as I have suffered, I know that you will come forth victoriously as I came forth victoriously. And so he is able to encourage them in the victory that they were going to experience, because I was there and God brought me through in victory. And I know he'll bring you through victoriously. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia. Now, it is felt that Paul wrote this right after that experience that he had in Ephesus, which is recorded in the 19th chapter of the book of Acts, the latter portion, where Paul was in Ephesus and many people were turning to Christ. And so Demetrius, the silversmith, called together all of those of his trade. And he said, fellows, do you realize that this new sect that is being preached here in Ephesus is destroying our business? We've made our livelihood selling all of these relics of the goddess Diana. Now they are teaching that Diana isn't a goddess. Our business is suffering. Our profits are down. If this gospel continues to spread, we could be out of business. We've got to do something. And so they grabbed a couple of the disciples who had been working with Paul, who were from Macedonia, and they drug them into the big arena there in Ephesus. And they began to sort of riot and carry on. And one of these fellows from Macedonia attempted to speak to the crowd. And they all began for the space of 2 hours to chant, great is Diana of the Ephesians. And Paul the apostle, when he heard of it, he wanted to go in. But some of the leaders of the city who loved Paul said, don't do it. They'll tear you apart. You know, it's a mob frenzy. And if you go in there, it's the end for you. Well, Paul, as a result, had to flee from Ephesus. His life was in jeopardy. And so he left from there and went over to Macedonia. And it is thought that while he was then at Troas or Macedonia, that he wrote this epistle, probably in Macedonia. He could have started it in Troas and finished it in Macedonia. That he wrote this epistle right after this harrowing experience in Ephesus, where his life was really threatened. In fact, he thought he had had it. The crowd was in such a frenzy, Paul really thought that this is it. This is the end. But he was ready to go in and face them anyhow. So I would not, that you were ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure beyond our strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. It was just too much. It was beyond my ability to handle. I really despaired of my life. I really felt this was the end. For we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust ourselves, but in God which raises the dead. I believe that many times, in many different areas, God brings us to the end of our own resources. Emotional, physical, perhaps financial. That we get right to the end. There's no place else to go. Where we actually give up. And we just say, I've had it. I can't do anything else. I've had it. Now, God's brought me to that place many times where I thought, this is it. This is the end. The end of my strength, the end of my abilities, where I have given up. And I don't give up easily. That's one of my problems in my spiritual walk. Is that I keep trying until I've tried everything before I really turn it over to God. But God brings me to that place where, having tried everything, I now have given up. And you know, I discover something. That many times when I get to that point of just giving up, that is the point where I experience the power of God and the work of God in my life. Not until I have run out of my strength and my resources.
The Old and New Testament study guides are the perfect companion to your Bible, featuring insightful commentary from Pastor Chuck Smith. Are you ready to give an answer to anyone who might ask you about Jesus? The best way to be prepared is to know the Scriptures. The study guides are designed to help you grow in your understanding of God's Word quickly and easily. Alongside Pastor Chuck's clear verse-by-verse commentary, you'll find key Hebrew word definitions, biblical maps, charts, and diagrams that help bring the Scriptures to life. Each section also includes study questions to help deepen your faith and apply God's Word to your daily walk. So whether you're new to the Bible or have studied for years, the Old and New Testament study guides will help you discover timeless truths with clarity and confidence. To order your copies, visit twft.com or call 800-272-9673. The Word for Today, helping you understand God's Word for life today.
May the Lord bless you and watch over you this week. May His hand be upon your life to strengthen you, to guide you. May He use you as His instrument to do His work. May God fill you with love and with understanding, compassion, the Spirit. And may you walk in the Spirit and be led of the Spirit of God this week. In Jesus' name.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of 2 Corinthians on our next broadcast, as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible, and we do hope you'll make plans to join us. This message has been provided to you by the generous supporters of The Word for Today. For additional information about how you can support this ministry, please visit us online at thewordfortoday.org. There you'll find free message downloads from Pastor Chuck, as well as links to our podcast and other other resources to help you grow in your Christian walk. You can also call us at 1-800-272-9673, or you can order a physical copy of today's message by mentioning 2 Corinthians 1. Again, that phone number is 1-800-272-9673. Our office hours are 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. Join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today.
Little country church.
This program is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.